Hello, everybody. Welcome, welcome. Good to see you. Give us a moment. I'll get here. For those of you that had a 3-day weekend this weekend, I hope it was nice and relaxing. That's okay, Sue. At least you'll get to listen from the car. Right. So I am excited for our time together today. We're going to continue our Befriend Your Fear module. Before we jump in, I wanted to remind everyone every now and again, I kind of give this reminder. I want to remind you that I want to hear from you. Even if you've been quiet so far in the program and you've been meaning to ask a question or you've been meaning to share, but it just somehow hasn't happened in each class, you can jump in today. And it would be amazing to hear your voice and to hear your perspective and to answer your question. And so, just as a reminder, all of your voices and questions are welcome and important here. I love hearing from the regulars who like to share. I always, always love hearing from you. And I really want to also hear from those of you who have been wanting to share, but quietly, like you've been inching up to the plate. Maybe today is the day. And as part of this, a reminder, I want to hear from you if you're a newer practitioner. I want to hear from you if you're a more seasoned practitioner. S some of you, many of you, are in what I would call the summer season in your work and in your business. You're active, you're in it, you're working with clients, you're working to build your practice. I want to hear from you. And also, if that's not where you're at, if you're in a different season in your work, if you are in more of a winter season, if things are slower for you right now, if you've been going more inward now, I want to hear from you too. All your voices are important. So please, please speak up here in our sessions. Also, as a reminder, ask questions on our Q&A calls. We have 2 a month. It's an opportunity to just bring anything that you are wanting support with. You might need to do a little prep work. For 2 minutes before the Q&A call and say, okay, I know I want to get support on something. I don't know what it is. I don't have a question. Where can I use help? Right. And also, I feel like we're underutilizing our Facebook group as well. No pressure, by the way, on any of these things. And for some of you, it's not, you don't need to ask questions too, right? Which is great. But I just as a reminder. So also with our Facebook group, remember, it's there for you in between our sessions if you need anything. Okay. So I wanted to just remind you all of that. We are today in our second of three Befriend Your Fear training calls. Last week, we started the module off and we looked at what I would call foundational principles around fear. And probably some of you noticed last week's class was foundational principles, but we could also call it energetic tips for the practitioner who's supporting a client to befriend their fear. In a moment, I'll do a quick review of what we looked at last week. But just to say, everything that we looked at was not only to help you understand more the human behavior behind fear, but also to help you as a practitioner Get more clear on what are the beliefs that you want to be bringing about fear and working with fear when it comes to your client work. What is the energy? What are the energetics that you want to consider bringing to your client and your client sessions when you're supporting them to befriend their fear? So that's what we looked at last week. Today, we're going to go step by step by step through the befriend your fear technique. I'm going to explain each piece and break it down, and I'm going to demonstrate it in a group setting so that we can each get a taste of it. And you can each work a little bit on your fears. And then next week, we're going to take everything we've learned in the first two classes of the module, and I'm going to do a demo of a one-on-one befriend your fear, and then we're going to break all of the pieces down from it. You'll also get at least one, maybe two supplemental recordings, which I recommend listening to of other demos that I've done of the befriend your fear process with breakdowns. The more that you can listen, observe, really, take note with your practitioner hat on, and then of course practice, the more you'll master the technique. All right, so as a quick review, we looked at a lot of those foundational principles or energetics last week. We looked at why it's important to befriend fear versus slay fear or vanquish fear or even release fear, right? Why we don't want the goal actually isn't to release fear. And why it's so important to make friends and have a relationship with it. We looked at the fact that fear is common and normal and healthy. There's actually nothing wrong happening when your client is experiencing fear. And in fact, part of the growth process, oftentimes there is a fear is going to come up because a change in status, which whenever we're going at for a goal, we're looking for a change in status. It can create some dysregulation in the system. And when there's dysregulation in the system, chances are it's going to bring up some fear. We looked at how it's a common misconception that we need to always be safe or we need to always be secure and comfortable and not willing to risk, right? Like that's the best way to be, that we will give in to the fears if that is always the mindset, right? And we looked at how there's actually always something to risk. We looked at how security is both real and also an illusion in a lot of ways, how our egos want to be comfortable. And we looked at a lot more, but these are some of the really important pieces that we looked at. Okay, let me pause there. Any thoughts? I'd love to hear what's been resonating for you since our time together last week. What are some pieces that have been becoming more clear? What have you been observing? Who wants to share? What's been really resonating for you? What's been coming up? What have you been seeing and noticing? Have you taken me up on the little challenge I gave in the Facebook group to notice when the fear comes up and reorient with love and compassion to it? And how has that been going? Who wants to share? I'd love to hear a voice or two on this. Rosa.
Hi, Joanna. I just want to say I am so sorry I missed last week. I thought you were off all of August and I was missing class. And anyway, and I was delighted coming on today, hearing where we are and that we're working on fear, because that's something that, thanks to your work, I've been really doing for a while now. And I am so ready to do more and to let it sink in deeper. I feel tears coming to my eyes right now. Like, it's so meaningful to me, this concept of being gentle with our own fear, to befriend it rather than slay or vanquish or even release. I've been writing all of this down. And you said nothing wrong when clients experience fear, and I put or self, because I've been really working on my own fear. I just want to say a little bit here, which others may find relevant. When I was a child, I was in a situation that was really scary, but paradoxically, one of the things is, like, I wasn't supposed to show my fear, right? Like, my dad was a rageaholic, and we all had to pretend that everything was okay. And so I feel like I denied it when I was feeling fear, because I didn't have anything to do with it. And so, oh, it just feels so helpful to be able to recognize fear and to say when I'm feeling afraid, and to, I just, yeah, it's such powerful work for me. So
Yeah.
thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. You can always catch up on the recording. And you also did advanced depth before sacred depth. So you got a full, intensive on it. So I know you know a lot of the pieces. And thank you also for sharing this piece about denying the fear, right? Because it is part of, again, what we were looking at last week. Part of our job as practitioners is to normalize the experience of fear so that our clients don't pile shame for having the fear on top of the fear itself. That's when it gets even trickier to work with. Beautiful. Thank you, Alexandra.
Hello, you beautiful.
Awesome.
Hey, happy Tuesday. You said something last session that really resonated for me. And I wrote it down, and it says, our ego believes that right here and now is the most safe and comfortable place. So leaving this place is requiring so much faith of us as individuals and jumping into the unknown. And that really, really, really resonated with me this week. Sort of staying in your safety zone. And much like Rosa just shared, I was raised to be afraid of the world. It seemed as though my mom would tell me, if you do this or that, something awful is going to happen to you. And so in this season of my life, I've been doing a deeper dive into navigating these fears and not, banishing them as we were discussing last week, but really embracing them and leaning into it with love and saying, okay, how do I truly feel right here and right now? And are we able to turn this into something productive and positive and reframe the way that I'm thinking about it? And so I can sort of tell my ego to take the back seat and sit there and, embrace the moment, embrace these present situations. But I just wanted to share that because it means so much to me. And I know it means so much to my family because I'm breaking free of so many things that, have required a lot of attention and mindfulness surrounding the way that I live and the way that I lead for my husband and for my children. And so I just wanted to say thank you, because it's huge. And for me to do that for myself and thus be able to do that for clients is incredible.
Thank you for sharing. I got chills when you spoke about breaking free. I could feel that. And I'm so glad that you took the practice to heart this week of just noticing, getting curious, and reorienting around the fear, right? So, this is important for all of us, for ourselves, but also from a practitioner point of view. Before we get into the whole fancy technique, it's not even that fancy today, but before get to all of the you do this and then you do this and then you do this in the befriend your fear technique. If just alone we bring the point of view and the energetics of let us be friendly to the fear, let us be willing to be with the fear, let us be willing to be curious and have some compassion for ourselves and for the fear itself. As Alexandra was saying, just that alone, we or our clients can start to see shifting around it, because just that alone, as Alexandra was saying, we're already rewiring old beliefs and neural pathways by doing that. And number two, and we'll look at this more as we move into it today, simply by being with the fear in this friendly way, we are showing our nervous system that we can be regulated in the face of the fear, that the fear can exist and regulation in terms of holding the fear can exist. That alone is a game changer for then being in our highest selves, our adult selves, and making different decisions. Good. Thank you so much, Alexandra. It's great to hear your voice. And then Kristen, and then we're going to jump into the technique. Kristen.
Thanks. This is quick. This last week, I've been softening a little bit more around fear, my experience with fear, and trying to have a little more compassion, like, oh, hi, that's all right, you're here. And that's been very helpful for me. But what I really wanted to share is that when I was putting my daughter to bed the other night, there was a little bit of a thunderstorm, and she said, Mommy, I'm so scared of the thunder. And I said, Hannah, it's okay to feel fear. It's okay to be afraid. She's like, it's okay to be afraid. We've been talking about it's being okay to feel angry. It's okay to feel sad. And now I'm like, yeah, it's okay to feel afraid. It's normal. And it's okay. And you're safe.
Chills, right? Just that alone. It's okay to be afraid. The kids need that. We need that, right? It's like, yeah. Kristen, in just that little thing, you are doing healing work through the ages in your family, like through the generations, and passing something different down. And you know, because you're sharing this, I'll share with everyone just another related story that I think will be helpful and inspiring for everyone, because it's about my kid too, but it's really about ourselves. So I have a 9-year-old, Yael, and the technique that we're going to be looking at today, I take her through it sometimes in a way that, you know, an 8-9-year-old can do it. And a couple months ago, I forget even now what she was scared of. She was scared of something, but I led her, like Kristen is saying, it's okay to be with your fear. And I actually had her with me there, be with her fear and connect with her fear. And at the end of it, here's what she said. She said to the fear, I am always going to be there for you. You don't have to worry so much because I am here. Of course, as a parent, it was so moving, but as a human, it was so moving, because imagine if we can all be in this place with our fears. Thanks, Kristen. Okay. I feel like all of that was just a fantastic bringing us back into all of this and foundation for us to get into the befriend your fear process. I'm going to take us step by step. And of course, a lot of the times you can actually do this with clients step by step by step in a linear way. Hopefully when I do the demo next week, it'll come somewhat linear, like we're looking at it today. Have to teach things a little bit linearly, but also just as a reminder, when we're working with humans, you know, things might come a little bit out of order, or two things might come at once, and that's fine. That's absolutely more than fine. But I'm kind of just breaking it down step by step for us as practitioners so we can understand. So first step usually in when we're working with a client to make friends with their fear is we want to support the client to become aware of the fear itself. We want to co-create awareness on the fear. Sometimes a client is going to come to us and say, "Oh my gosh, I have a fear of visibility, and that's why I haven't been able to internet date, or that's why I haven't been sending out my newsletter, or whatever it is," right? They're coming aware of the fear. They've already done step one. Great. However, for some clients, they're going to come and say, "I know last week we said I was going to create my online dating profile, but every time I went to do it, I just like, I don't know, I just didn't do it, or I forgot that I was supposed to do it, or I started typing things in and I just got so frustrated and overwhelmed that I stopped, but I don't know why I really want to do it." Right? So they're coming to us with kind of the surface obstacle to their goal, but they're maybe not yet quite aware that there might be fear involved in this. And so this is why we always want to support in becoming aware. The more that your client can become clear on what the fear is, then even just by starting to name the fears, we're starting to bring them out of the blind spot a bit more. It's actually, we're already starting to be friends with it. Right. It's when they're not named that they're most likely to sabotage. So oftentimes, when you're working one-on-one with a client, they come to you with, "I was supposed to do this and I know that," you're going to want to ask questions, right? Ask a breakthrough question so that they can become aware, like, "Oh, there is a fear here." Oh, maybe the fear is this. For example, I love the what's at risk question. We looked at this in our questioning module. I love the what's at risk question here. What would be at risk for you if you were to finish that online dating profile? What part of yourself would be at risk? Part of your identity would be at risk, et cetera. Or even more simply, what are you scared might happen if you were to actually complete that online dating profile? Right? So really just asking simple questions that allow your client to start to see, "Oh, wait, there's a fear going on here." Last week in your resource center, I included a resource sheet with, I think it's 11 underlying fears. There's more than 11, but the reason why I include some of the most common underlying fears is just so that you as a practitioner are aware, oh, it could be a fear of visibility. It could be a fear of others getting angry. It could be a fear of superseding the family and then becoming disconnected from the family or from the partner, right? Whatever it is, they're all there for you. I find it's good for us as practitioners to kind of know the range of what some of those underneath that surface, right? I didn't do the newsletter. I didn't have that conversation with my sister. I didn't do the online dating. What some of those most common fears underneath are. And then, of course, when you're working with a client one-on-one, there might be more of a conversation in this step one of co-creating awareness. You might have to kind of do some fishing around it for them to get. For all of us now in this group setting, let's do this step one together. So I've got a couple of questions for you. Number one, what's a goal that you've been wanting to achieve right now, but it's kind of in arrested development. You maybe haven't been taking actions, or your actions have been kind of neither here nor there. or that you're kind of self-sabotaging a little bit, or you keep on coming up with really good reasons not to. Just don't have the time. But really, you could make the time. So, what's a goal that you're wanting to achieve right now that's maybe in Arrested Development? Or even if it's not a goal, an action step that maybe you've been telling yourself you're going to take, and then week after week, you're not really taking it, or it's kind of half-hearted. And please share in the chat so we can see some different examples. Right, this would kind of be that surface thing that the client brings to you. I didn't do this. I don't know why I didn't do that. I completely forgot X, Y, or Z, right? We've got some examples. Jessica is saying putting your one-on-one coaching back up on your website. Yeah. Kristen is saying making offers consistently, along with letting people know what I'm doing professionally. Good. Susan, still not getting fully prepared to invite clients to work with me. Yeah. Golda, I want to onboard more private coaching clients, but I haven't been making the clear ask. Jessica, working on your clear offer, starting a group program. Okay, good. All of these are great examples. Let's take it a step further. So, still under this step one of becoming more aware. What would be at risk for you if you were to really go after or achieve this goal or take this action step? What relationships, what sense of self, what habits, what patterns or ideas would be at risk for you if you were to fully 100% do this thing, go after what you want? I'm going to put that question in the chat. It was a mouthful. What would be at risk for you if you were to take action here and achieve this? Visibility, and then the other side of the coin is limiting yourself to a specific offer. Good, Jessica, right? So there's two fears there, and I'm glad that you identified that second one too. It's often common for coaches. It's like, oh, if I now I'm gonna just have to do this thing and I'm limited, and the fear of that can hold back. Good. So some of you may have already gotten to this next question through the risk question, but I'm just going to ask it just in case. Yeah, Maria is saying a long commitment. Golda saying being judged is being too salesy. Yep. Couldn't hide anymore in safety, fear of being rejected. Great. So I'm seeing a lot of specific fears already coming up in the chat. But just in case you didn't get there yet, I'll ask one more question here. Write down any of the fears that come up when you think about taking action towards or achieving the goal that you're looking at. So, write down all of the fears that come up. I'm going to give you all another moment on this. Okay. So a couple things to note. Number one, like I said, when you're working one-on-one with a client, it's going to be more of a conversation. I just happen to ask these few questions to the group so that each of you can start to identify some of your fears, right? But it'll be much more personalized using all of your coaching skills in this step one to co-create awareness. A lot of the time, the most important fear is going to come up and none others will. Sometimes a few fears will come up as you're starting to identify that there's fear here. What is the fear? As you move into this process, you want to pick one to work with. Oftentimes one starts to unlock the other anyway, but sometimes you need to do a couple of them, right? But you're going to pick the one that feels, ask your client, which if more than one comes up, which one feels most important to work with first or to work with today. Second note here, really there is a step to the befriend your fear process that is both a pre-step and also woven in to every step of the process. And it's the energetics, right? I just want to remind you of this again. Every step of the way, we want to be bringing compassion, not just for our clients, but for the fear. We want to normalize, right? Like as sometimes in this first step, especially if someone has resistance to this idea, we might say like, it's so normal to have fear when you're building your business, when you're going to set a big boundary with a family member, when you're looking to buy a house, right? All the things, right? So we want to be normalizing the whole entire way as needed. We want to be bringing love and compassion as needed, the entire process. That is part of the magic sauce in all of this. All right, let's keep on going. So then step two, once we've identified a fear and that there's fear there and started to normalize, then the next thing that we usually want to do with clients is, it doesn't have to be a big conversation, but a short conversation to help them, what I call, understand the fear. So that's step two, understand the fear. And what I mean by this is to support the client to bring some awareness to how the fear works in their life. How they react to the fear, what happens when the fear comes up. So, for example, you can ask a client, what behaviors does the fear cause you to act out, right? So let me take a step back here. Let's say they say, I didn't do my newsletter, right? Again, and then you create awareness around a fear. It turns out that there's a fear of visibility, right? So we know one way the fear creates a behavior is they're not sending out their newsletter, but I guarantee it's creating that fear is creating other behaviors in their business or in their life, right? And having them see the bigger context and the bigger impact of the fear in their life is very helpful. It can create even more motivation to want to become friends with it. And it will just help them make so many more connections, right? So you can ask questions like, what behaviors does the fear cause you to act out on? Or how does the fear manifest in terms of action or inaction in any area of your life? When you're feeling the fear, what thoughts do you have? What emotions do you have? You can even ask a question like, if you were to continue to hold on so strongly to the fear, in the future, what might it hold you back from? Right? So that they get, again, you don't have to ask all of these questions, but I usually like to ask one or two to give a bigger cognitive understanding for the client on how the fear is functioning in their life. All right, let me pause there. Any thoughts or questions on step one, becoming aware of the fear, or step two, understanding the fear? Thoughts, questions, or what you're seeing or learning so far, just from these first two steps? Kristen is asking a great question. Would it be helpful in step two to ask about how they experience fear in their body? So, step three, we're getting into the somatic piece, but you can cognitively ask for sure, like when you're feeling the fear, what's your sense of how it feels in your body? Because that will give them more information on how the fear is impacting them. So you can absolutely ask that. Anyone else have any questions or thoughts or what you're seeing or learning so far? Alexandra is asking, what if the client is in denial of their fear? Would we reflect it back to them? So a couple is such a great question. So a couple of things to know on that. Sometimes it's as simple as back to our creating awareness skills of reflecting a hard truth, right? So sometimes we can do that. Sometimes you might ask the question, what's at risk or what are you scared of? And the client is like, nothing. I really want to build my business. There's no fear here, right? And then sometimes it's as easy as a reflection. Okay, I might get this wrong, but let me know how this resonates for you. I have a sense that there might be a fear of really being seen because I remember you had shared with me, but right, whatever it is, or because it's so common to have a fear of visibility. Does that resonate? Am I getting that right? And sometimes when you do that, the client will say, oh my gosh, you're right. I think that's true, right? And then you're good to go. Other times, the client is going to be like, no, I really just don't have enough time. And that's the end of it, right? Whatever the thing is. So first you want to inspect, is it really true that they don't have, because that could be true. But if it's not, and that's still happening, that's when you want to start working with the resistance archetypes. We're going to get to that next. So and the Yeah, so I'll just say that for now, before, because instead of launching all that, so sometimes it is peskier. And first, it's almost like the way I always describe it is there's the fear, whatever the core fear is, the fear of visibility, the fear of being abandoned, the fear of others getting angry at us, et cetera. But sometimes the fear is so big that like a bigger resistance wraps around it, like, No, I just don't have the time, or you coach, you don't know what you're talking about. I just can't, or whatever it is. We'll look at all the ways. And so first we have to loosen the resistance, and then we can work with the fear. So we'll get there. Great question. Victoria is asking, what about asking how the client feels towards the fear to identify resistant parts? Absolutely, you can do that as well. And we'll look at that when we look at resistance archetypes for sure. Susan is saying, step two, I'll call something like understand how the fear pattern is functioning. That's a great way of putting it. Jessica.
I just have a question. So I know for me, like I sometimes get confused, is this an actual fear or am I just making this up? And discerning that point. And I'm just wondering, like, can we start asking these sort of questions if we're unsure, or like how could we go about exploring that side of things?
Yeah, I love this question. So here's the beauty of the technique is that even if the client is unsure, is it this fear? Is it that fear? Am I making it up? Or maybe it's not a fear, maybe it's my intuition, right? Because that's something that can come up as well. It almost doesn't matter, because you'll see as we get to the next step where we get into the somatic process, the body doesn't lie. And it will, what the wisdom and the understanding that needs to come through is going to start coming through in the somatic process. The step one and step two are there to start setting it up, to start paving the way. And oftentimes, before people go into a more, are willing to go into a more feeling or somatic process, they need to feel like they can cling on to some cognitive awarenesses first. And so that's the other reason for setting it up with one and two. Does that land for you, Jessica?
I actually just got completely booted off my Zoom the minute you started answering the question. So I'll have to listen back to the
Okay.
recording. But
So yeah,
thank you.
go back and listen. Okay. So let's keep on going. Step three is really the heart of the befriend your fear process. It's where we start to work if a client is open to working on the somatic level. And it's where we really go into dialoguing with the fear, to really engaging with the fear in a respectful, loving, compassionate way. And I call step three honoring, engaging, and holding space for your fears. We're doing this in all the steps of the process, but this is really the heart of it. And this really is about honoring the fear, not letting it dictate, in every situation, right? But honoring, back to everything we learned last week, honoring that it has a place, that we're not looking to vanquish it, that we're not just doing this work in order to get rid of it so that it's not a nuisance anymore, but we're doing this work to deepen the relationship with the fear, with the survival mechanism, as we looked at last week, right? So that it can be more effective, right? So that it be can become that more effective fire alarm that we were talking about last week versus like beeping all the time. When you can hold space for a fear in this way and honor it and engage it and then dialogue and connect with its wisdom, not only are you deepening the relationship with the fear, but you're also doing a couple of other things. Number one, you're bringing it more and more out of the blind spot. This is crucial to working with fears, because oftentimes, and check this out for yourself, when we are gripped with a fear, we think it's all of us, right? It's like part of it's there's no separation between us and the fear, and we're more likely to let it get in the way. You know, we're more likely to listen to it because it's like we think it's all of us. When we can honor it and engage with it and dialogue with it, we can start to see it as a part of us, not all of us. And when we can start to relate to the fear as a part of us and not all of us, then we can be, you know, we can call it in our adult self, in our higher self, in our wisest self, as we relate to the fear. The third reason why dialoguing with the fear, honoring it, engaging it, and holding space for it is so powerful is, again, going back to what I said earlier, it creates regulation in our systems. And it shows us that we can navigate the fear from a place of being more calm and being more in our wisdom versus being dysregulated around it. As we are able to hold space more and more for the fear and dialogue more and more with the fear, because I just want to say this isn't a once and done process. We can do this process once with a client. They're going to get so, like, they will probably get so many breakthroughs and understandings and motivations to move forward. But just like any relationship and any friendship, if we are really looking for a real friendship, the dialogue needs to happen more than once, right? We want to come back to it. We want to teach our clients or support our clients to be in a practice with it. When we start to do that, then the fears can become like old friends that you can make decisions with together. Because when there's that friendship, then they don't need to be like the man fighting against the wind to keep his hat on that we were talking about last week. The fears can relax more because they know that they're not being ignored or hated. They know that they're getting the loving attention that they deserve, and they don't have to be in your face so much. Okay, so in a few minutes, I'm going to lead us through this step as a group. But before we get there, a couple of pieces that I want to share about this step that are very, very important. So, as with all of our work, everything that we're learning here in Sacred Depth, everything we have been learning, and Befriend Your Fear process included, we want to be trauma-informed practitioners. Everything I have been teaching you are skills, even if I haven't been pointing it out directly, everything that we've been learning here are trauma-informed skills. Being trauma-informed doesn't mean that a client isn't going to get uncomfortable sometimes in their work with you. Discomfort is part of the process, right? So I want to point that out too. But I want to share a couple of things around what that we want to be aware of in this process when it comes to be to, comes to being trauma informed. So, and I'm speaking now Everybody has it here has a different scope of practice. I'm speaking mainly scope of coaches, right? So there are therapists in the program. Like, you might have a different scope of practice, but if you are a coach, this is how I understand it. And check this out if this feels resonant for you. Part of what being trauma informed within the scope of coaching means that, of course, trauma is gonna come up in our coaching. Like, let me just tell you, there's no way to avoid it at all. It's gonna, like, if someone is overworking, it most likely a result of trauma. If someone is avoiding, right? Because as we looked at last week, the fears, those fears come from the then and there, right? They come from the past when a traumatic incident may have happened. But as coaches, our work is not to go back to the crags of the then and there and have the client feel how it felt when they were six and, like go into all of that. That might be the scope of another practitioner, although I'll tell you, even therapy these days has shifted where that's not even so much of the focus anymore. But for coaches, what we want to do is create awareness around the difference between the adult resources in the here and now versus the fears or whatever resources weren't available in the there and then. Right? So it's not that we don't talk about the there and then. Sometimes it's important to so that a client can see the difference and be in their current adult self and resources, which is exactly as you'll see what the process does. We want to focus mainly on the resources and the wisdom that are available to our client in the present and in the future. And help them see the difference between the present future and the past. Now, in order to do this, and you'll see there's lots of skills and flourishes within this process itself, but in general, what being trauma-informed does mean is that first and foremost, as practitioners, we recognize our own trauma and trauma responses. And we do the best that we can to check ourselves and not bring those responses into our client containers. By the way, everything from day one that we're learning around energetics and all the inner work that we're doing. Is to part of it is to help you not bring your own trauma responses into the container. So we've been doing this work. And in case you're wondering, the work is never done. Right? So don't try to like achieve perfection before like any of this. I'm still working on my trauma responses. I will be probably for the rest of my life. So we as practitioners, stay aware of our feelings and what we bring to the container. Right. And if we notice that we are consistently bringing, or that our trauma responses are consistently showing up and that it's outside of our control, then that's an indicator that we might need outside therapeutic support. Another piece of being trauma-informed means that as practitioners, we recognize the likelihood of trauma in the histories and lives of the people that we serve. Right? And that also means that trauma responses can be related to personal experiences, but that they can also be related to cultural, systemic discrimination or harm. So we just want to be aware of that, right? And understand that that's there. Being trauma-informed also means that we as practitioners understand that the survival strategies that our clients have, like overworking or shying away from setting a boundary or speaking a truth, that those survival strategies may have developed as a result of trauma or might be a trauma response. So, like I said, our clients' trauma responses are going to make their ways into our coaching containers. If you are working with a human being, there's almost no way that it can't, right? If you're a hairdresser, a client's trauma response might make it into your container. If you're a real estate agent, right? A client's trauma, right? So it's not, and I say this because I don't want us to be scared of it. There tends to be all of this taboo. Oh my God, we don't need to be scared of it. It's part and parcel of our everyday lives. We just want to be aware of it and bring our skills, all the skills we've been learning here to it. Okay, what else do I want to share right now around this? When a client is resourced from the here and now moment or from the future moment, that's when new energy and inspiration can come forward. That's when new solutions and brainstorming can come forward, right? So, as you'll see in the Befriend Your Fear technique, what it really does again is to support clients to resource from the here and now, even as they inspect the fear that may have arisen in the then and there. Okay, a couple of now let's just get into some more details. And you'll see this a little bit as I lead us through it in the group. And then I'll also demonstrate it even more in the one-on-one next week. But some things, some very specific things to be aware of and to be trauma-informed in the practice. So number one, before you lead your client into the process or into any somatic process, ask the client if they would like to go deeper, get their consent. Right. So, as an example, and you'll see me model this next week when I'm working with a client, we've done step one and step two. We've become more aware of the fear. We understand the fear. We've spoken about it. Before I go into the somatic process, I will say, would you like to go deeper with this? Right. We want to get their consent. We don't want to just go straight into the body. Another piece to be aware of. For a lot of people working somatically, it helps to close their eyes. But for some people, closing their eyes can trigger a trauma response depending on their history. So you never ever want to just tell a client, close your eyes. I've probably modeled some of this language for all of you before. I'll say something like, if it feels comfortable to close your eyes, I invite you to close your eyes. And if it feels more comfortable to keep your eyes open, keep them open and focus inward. Another piece to think about. Don't ask your client to modulate their breathing in any way. That's another thing that could possibly trigger a response. You'll see as we go through this as a group, but really more so in the one-on, even more so in the one-on-one, you'll really notice it. Go slow. This is, remember, this is about regulation and co-regulation with you, always co-regulation with you, the practitioner, and regulation in the face of the fear. So you want to give ample space for this. You don't want to rush through it. Jennifer is asking, what do I mean by modulate their breathing? So, as an example, having them inhale for a certain amount of time and exhale for a certain amount of time. Instead, have them find their na ask them to just find their natural breath, to tune in to their breath, but not you need to breathe in for 8 counts and breathe out for whatever. That's what I mean by modulating. Throughout the process, sometimes it can also be really helpful and supportive to let your client know that they're doing really well, right? Because oftentimes clients can be like, is this weird? Did I say something weird? Am I getting this right? All the things. Encourage them. And then back to the energetics. This is part of being trauma-informed and helping them co-regulate and settle in. Have them hear the love and the respect in your voice, right? And the compassion. Okay. And then most importantly, enjoy the process, right? I feel like sometimes we get so tight around these things. The more regulated we are, the more likely our clients are to be regulated. Okay. One last piece. And I was not aware of, some of you may have heard me speak about this at Art of Client Transformation. It's a good, as a reminder, I was not aware until, I don't know, only 3 or 4 years ago that some people have what's called aphantasia. And what aphantasia is that they're not able, their brains are not able to visualize. They can't see imagery. If they close their eyes, like they can't see imagery. So sometimes you might have a client that you go to lead through the process and they're like, they might not be into it because they're just resistant. But you want to be aware that there are some clients that aren't going to be able to visualize. And just so you know, that's okay. The process works whether you visualize or not, because it's really more about feeling than seeing. If you have a client that is able to see, and you'll see as I model it for the group, I'm going to ask questions like, what does the fear look like? Does it have a color? Et cetera. If a client is able to do that, great. But if not, the process works just as well. And sometimes with a private client, I will ask beforehand, are you able to visualize? If I don't already know, I'll just ask. And then I'll proceed based on what they let me know. Okay. So we're going to do like a little mini version of step three as a group right now. And then from there, and then next week, we'll kind of, I'll model the even more in detail one-on-one version of it. I also, it should note, we're moving through this as a group now because I want you to each work a little bit on your fears and experience this today. I don't recommend what we're learning here in Sacred Depths is how to do this one-on-one. If you want to do this with groups, I recommend practicing this a lot one-on-one first and also just learning for groups, different ways. Make sure you're really solid in how you set containers. Et cetera, with groups. Okay, so I want to invite each of you to pick one of the fears that came up earlier when we were doing step one. for you. Pick one fear that feels like, ah, this is a good fear to work with today. And if you are willing to go deeper with it, I invite you to join us in this process. If you're feeling today like you're not in a place to go deeper with any fears, that's perfectly fine too. You can just kind of follow along intellectually and observe. Did you see what I all did, what I did there? Right? What I just taught you, right? Give the option for consent. And if you're gonna participate, just know that you get to go as deep or not as deep as you want in the process. If at any point you're like, this, I don't, this is, then you pull out of it. As I said earlier, I want to remind you, discomfort is a good thing. Pain is not a good thing. Sometimes we need to feel a little bit uncomfortable with our fears first, right? So watch yourself in the process. And if it's comfortable for you, I invite you to close your eyes. And if it's more comfortable for you to keep your eyes open, I invite you to keep your eyes open and go inward, tune inward. And whether your eyes are open or not, I invite you to come home to your body, to remember that you have a body. And to tune into your breath as a way of coming back home to yourself. I'm just watching your inhale and your exhale. I'm using each breath to connect more to this moment and to your body and to the wisdom that you store in your body in every moment of every day. And if it's helpful, I invite you to notice where you're making connection with your seat. And notice the ground beneath that and the earth beneath that, supporting you. As you continue to follow your breath and come back to yourself. And as you do this, I invite you to remember the fear that you identified. And see if you can locate the part of your body where this particular fear is residing today. Where in your body are you holding this fear, whatever it is? You don't need to overthink it. Just notice what comes to you. There's no wrong here. And as you become aware of where in your body you're holding this fear today, I invite you to hold space for it as if you were holding space for a child that you love. Or for a client. Allow yourself to be with this fear and hold space for it with compassion, maybe even with love. And continue to hold space and be with it. If you are someone who is able to visualize, I invite you to pretend almost like you're a detective. Get out your magnifying glass and your flashlight and see what the fear looks like in this part of your body. It might look like an object or a shape or a color. Just really first, if you can visually see if the fear looks like anything as you continue to hold loving space for it. Notice what it looks like. And then see if you can take it in with any of your other five senses. Does it have a smell? Is there a sound in that area of your body? Is it damp or dry there, or hot or cold? Take in any information that might come up as you continue to hold space. Now I'm going to invite you to ask the fear some questions. And as you ask the question, you might hear an answer, you might see one, you might feel one, or nothing might come. There's no wrong here, just so long as you continue to stay present with the process. So continue to connect with the fear, hold space for it with compassion. Let it know that you're there to be with it. And ask it, how long has it been with me? How long have you been with me, fear? Continue to be with your body and hold space. And ask the fear, is there a particular event or series of events that brought you into being in my life? Is there a particular event or series of events that brought you into being in my life? Continue to hold space for the fear. Connect with it. And ask it, what purpose have you served in my life? What's that bigger purpose that you've served in my life? Continue to be with it, hold space with honor. A few more questions. I want to invite you to ask the fear from its highest self and its highest wisdom, what does it actually want for you? When it's in its highest purpose, its best purpose, its most positive purpose, what does it actually want for you? And continuing to be with it. Hold space. Ask it if there's anything else from its highest wisdom that it wants you to know right now. From its highest wisdom, what else does it want you to know? And hold space for another moment and notice if the fear might look exactly as it did when you started. If you were able to see it, it may have changed. It might feel different. It may have moved. There's no wrong or right here, but just notice if it has changed form in any way. And then take a moment and thank the fear for bringing itself present. And thank it for all the ways it has served you. And thank it for all the wisdom that it brought forward today. And for now, you can let it go. And just come back to your whole body. And if your eyes aren't open, allow your eyes to open. And I'll give you a moment to jot down any notes that you want to jot down that feel important. Of course, when you're working one-on-one, you're not, I'll give you, you'll have in a resource sheet, some questions to think about asking during the process. But when you're in a one-on-one, you're in conversation with your client, you're going to want to use all of your listening skills, all of your creating awareness skills, all of your questioning skills. And we'll see that in the demo and break all of it down next week. But for now, we have time for one or two shares. I'd love to hear, what are you noticing? What are you seeing? What's starting to come together for you? We still have a few more steps in the process, but what's feeling important so far? Who'd like to share? Nisha.
Yeah, thank you so much for that experience. I think what is so important, a couple things that really came up for me during that was one, the physical, the visual of what it felt like in my body, even though it's something I've been think this fear has been kind of coming up for me a lot in the last couple weeks. The visual was not something that I, even though I do this with other clients, like I'm like, oh, what does it look like? It's not something that even registered for me until we did that. So that was just like really helpful to see like how much it's draining me, you know, just from the. And also, I just think those last couple of questions about the highest form, like it just really reinforces how like these fears have so much wisdom for us. And it's funny because it's like, I feel like it's trying to keep me safe, but it's also wanting to move me toward a different safety that's a stretch for me. So it's like, it's funny how it like kind of wants both ways. and I just have to have the will to see that or make that decision. So, yeah.
I love it. I got chills when you said that last part, Nisha, and I would really, it sounds like it came through so clearly for you today and vividly, and you saw so much. I would really, step six of the process is commit to it and continue the relationship and take the actions, right? So if it feels right for you, I would come back and continue to be with the image and be with the fear, even if it tells you, and this is important for everyone and for us to know as practitioners, even if it says the same exact things each time, it won't, it will also say some new things, but even if it says the same exact things, that's important too, because we're embodying that truth more deeply, right? We're seeing it more deeply and it's creating new neural pathways to come back to it. So I think that will help give you the will that you're talking about to do the things.
Yeah, definitely. Another thing I wanted to just add was that I feel like as I got to that highest form, those last couple of questions, the visual of it kind of shifted for me too. And I thought that was really, really cool.
Yeah. I love that it did that. It won't always do it, but that's why I ask at the end, like, you know what? Because that can be important for us cognitively to notice as well. Oh, wait. This shifted. And I didn't add it in there, but when you're working with a client and that happens, you can say, how does that feel, right? How does the new form feel in your body, right? Good. Thank you so much. Okay, I'm going to keep on going and then I'll open up at the end for more shares and more thoughts and any questions. You'll see in your resource sheet, I have a step four in there that's, I call connect to spirit, trust and love, but really that's all. That's just throughout. I just kind of needed a place to put it in there, but it's just, it's a reminder for you on all of the energetics. Kristen, tell me what you mean by your question. Will I be giving us this process? Oh, it's
yes.
Go ahead.
Oh, because you just led us through it, like experientially, but are you going to be taking us through it also so that we can write down
the steps of it? It's all written down in, you should have resource sheets in the member center mm-hmm. that go along with the class today that has, not oh, as a group, but for one-on-one different pieces, all the different pieces.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, so once you've been through all of this, you've gotten to the heart, you did the somatic part of the process. First, when a client comes, out of the somatic part, you're going to want to talk about it a little bit, right? So I did it with the group briefly by jotting down your notes, hearing a share, right? But when you're one-on-one, you're going to ask the client what really stood out to you from that. What are you really taking? And as the practitioner, you may also share some things that the client doesn't mention that you observed, using all of your creating awareness skills to see if it lands for them, if it feels like a truth for them, if it resonates for them. Once they've been through this, maybe they've received some wisdom from the process. Even if they haven't received wisdom, I promise you there will be more regulation with the fear. And so that allows you to go on to step five, which is to hold space for a client to make a choice about their next step. So once you've become aware of your fear, All the things that you've been through that we've looked at so far, then we're at the part of the process where, again, like I said, wisdom has come through, regulation has come through, more understanding has come through, the fear is less in the blind spot, there's less of an enmeshment, they're more in their higher self, all of that, where they can decide, I want to make the video on social media, or I don't want to, or I want to go on the date, or whatever it is, right? So that's when you can ask your client, what action do you want to take next? What is it that you'd like to do this week, right? Between now and when we speak next. Now, here's the thing that's really important about this step. A client, you can have taken a client through all of it, and now they're maybe ready to make the video and like do the thing, right? Great. But guess what? Sometimes when we take a client through all of that, what happens is from their higher wisdom, they see that they're actually not ready to make the video. Or that instead of committing to making a video, they just want their next step to be writing a script for the video. Or they'd rather write a newsletter article about it. Or whatever, right? We can't be attached to outcome in the next place. If we've done our job and helped a client hold space for their fear, all the things we've been through, there will be a next aligned decision. But it's not necessarily going to be to take the action that they thought that they've been holding back on. Does that make sense? And then step six is committing and recommitting and recommitting. And that's both on the inner level and the outer level. It's what, you know, I've been talking about this whole program, and I mentioned earlier today, this isn't a once and done. What homework can you give so that they can continue to dialogue? You can pick it up in the next session. They can write a letter to their fear. They can have their fear write a letter to them. The other part of the committing and recommitting is the outer. Whatever the next outer aligned action step is, affirm it. Hold space for them to take the action. Whatever the action is, that action will open up more inspiration and motivation to come back to a deeper relationship with the fear. Okay, we have just a couple minutes left, and I'm able to stay past two if anyone wants to, you know, share more about the somatic process. But before you hop off, please write down, what are you, hopefully you're taking a lot from our call today, but what are some things that you're really taking for yourself, either as a practitioner or also personally for yourself today? And of course, if you have to hop off, but if you'd like to share what you're taking away, or if you have any questions, I'd love to hear them. Anybody want to share? Yeah, Bruce.
Yeah, thanks, Joanna, for going through all of that. It was a really powerful exercise. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay. I've got new earbuds, so I'm sure. One of the things that came up to me, and I don't, it's a big word you use there, when people can't visualize, what's amphimorous?
Let me type it into the chat. It's aphantasia. So kind of like fantasy. I think the root comes from fantasy, aphantasia.
Okay. Thank you. So one of the things came up that I don't do enough of, that I'm not aware enough of to think about, and maybe you've talked about this in the past, or maybe you're going to talk about this in the future here, but is is how clients process differently. And that kind of what brought it up for me. So the, I'm sure you're familiar, like people process things visually or auditorily or kinesthetically, olfactory, or self-talkers, they call them VACOGs, right? And it's something I don't practice enough of, that awareness, like thinking about what the client, how they're processing.
Yeah. Yes.
But how important it is to mirror that back to them in the same language that they're using, you know, in a session, or as, you know, you hear them. So, and self-talkers are definitely different in how you approach them, but I didn't know if that was something you're going to talk about at all.
I'm glad that you're bringing it up. So yes, 100%. And I guess a couple of things. So first of all, sometimes you can have a conversation with a client because they know. Sometimes you'll learn it through the dialogue if they say, I feel X versus I see Y or I sense Z. And then, yes, you want to mirror it back to them. And I am, you know, we just did a one to many, so it's different than one on one, but I tried to model some of that in the one to many questions. So I didn't just ask, what did it look like? I asked, does it have a smell? Can you hear anything in there? Is it hot or cold, et cetera? Then the other, and I know when we're in the experience, it's hard to notice. So I'm pointing out these flourishes because it can be helpful. When I started inviting everybody to ask questions, the instructions I gave was when you ask the question of the fear, you might hear it, you might see it, you might sense it, or nothing might come up. It's all good. It's all exactly as it should be, and go with that. So that was my way of kind of solving that one to many. But when you're working one-on-one and there's that actual back and forth conversation, you can integrate what you're hearing from the client and then use the appropriate language. And always, kind of the first few times you do it, give the different options so that they know they're not doing it wrong if they sense it versus see it, et cetera.
Yeah, thank you. I did hear you weave that in there. So I just wanted to bring it kind of to awareness because it's something that I want to make sure that I'm more aware of than I am, so that I can.
Yeah, it's, and even for not this process in general, right? It's part of our listening skills to see how does somebody process and then use that language with them. So I'm so glad you're bringing it up.
Yeah, because I feel like they feel heard that way when they say, oh, I see that you're seeing this, or that you're feeling this. So it's definitely helpful. Yes. So thank you.
Thank you. Susan.
Well, I did this with my one-on-one coach in our last session. It was so powerful and I was so excited to learn about it. And it was really interesting this time, like you said, this second time, it was really interesting feeling. It felt like it was something like kind of like a thumb that's trying to hold me down, but it also is kind of like these, not ropes, because they're not ropes, maybe like cords that just like hold me back. And I noticed that it could apply to both my fear of success and fear of failure, in that it doesn't want me to be disappointed, which I know also came from me really always trying to get my mom's approval, always trying. And it's almost like it said to me, just stop trying, be safe, stop trying, and you won't be disappointed. Mm-hmm. So that was really amazing. And then in the meantime, I know I've shared here that I had that big decision of deciding whether to retire. And I got the email that it was approved, a phase. I just did decide to do it, this phased retirement. And so I start this month. I start right now going to a 4-day work week. And then I go down to a 3-day work week. And then I'll be retired as of June. The end of June, end of the academic year, which is very exciting. So it's really, I was going to share it. I thought, oh, I'm not going to share until it's actually official. And it's really And I got the email during this class today. So I feel better regulated to deal with the reality that, yes, I'm doing this. I'm excited.
Well, exciting, Susan. I really want to acknowledge and honor you for taking the steps. It's so big. And tell me if this lands for you. I feel like the wisdom that came through in your process today of you know, I'm using a little bit different words than you said, you use your own, but like you can feel safe, just feel the safety in your body. My sense is that that's so important as you move through this process. And if it feels right, you can do, what I would recommend is doing a process similar to Befriend Your Fear, but instead of the fear, with this wisdom that came through, where in your body do you know that no matter what, you're safe? And then work the process with that, be with that in your body, feel that, ask it for more wisdom, etc. Practice feeling that.
Feeling it, yeah. That's amazing. Thank you. And thank you so much, everyone, for all your congratulations. Really love this community so much. I cannot tell you. I've been in other groups and masterminds. This is far exceeds any of them, I have to say. So thank you so much, Joanna.
You're so welcome. I always say I attract the most incredible people. All right, everyone. I am sending you all a lot of love. As questions come up or observations come up, let me know, post it in the Facebook group. You can bring it to our Q&A call. And we're going to also continue with all of this in our training next week. I recommend waiting before you start practicing with your partner. Wait till we get through next week's call and then do some practicing with your partner. All right. Have a great rest of your day.